Psalm 24 in the New King James Bible, and it's headed a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah, Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Excuse me. Okay, here in Psalm 24, we finish up this little mini cycle of Psalms that you've heard me talk about in the last several weeks, where we looked at the trials and temptations of Jesus. Then we saw his sacrifice. We saw him being abandoned, so to speak, by the Father, as in punishment for our sins that he took upon himself. We see the praise of the mission accomplished. And then last week, we looked at the Lord, the shepherd of his people, and we saw him as covenant head. Now, these are messianic psalms. We saw in the superscription here that this is a psalm of David. But by that, it means David wrote them. It's not a psalm about David. And oddly, it's not a psalm about Solomon either. This is a psalm about Jesus, as most of the psalms really are. Now, a couple things that I want to point out here. In Psalm 23, we spent some time looking at Jesus, the Messiah, as shepherd of his people, as head of the covenant house. But here in Psalm 24, we see going from prophet to priest and now to king. The scope widens as we go into Psalm 24. Because look how it starts. It doesn't start with the Lord is the king of his people, but rather the earth is the Lord's. The earth belongs to Jehovah in all its fullness. We have right here in one line in God's word saying that there is no part of the earth that's outside of the scope, the kingship of Christ. The world and those who dwell therein. This is speaking of the entire earth. As it says world here, I didn't look it up. But we're talking about the entire planet and all the people that live upon it. Too many in the church, and frankly most of those outside the church, talk about you and your God, or he's our God and so we follow him. But again, here in the psalm, it's clearly stated that Jesus is the Lord of all. And all people owe him allegiance, owe him worship. We talk about we owe him worship because he saved us. But look at this. The world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Jehovah created the earth and everyone on it. And all people owe their creator worship and obedience. Now we start into the second section of this psalm here in verse 3. So we've established that the Lord who saved his people is also the creator God who demands obedience from the entire earth, who asserts authority over all of it. And now we look, who may ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Now the thought at the time, the picture in people's minds, the picture in the Old Testament day was the temple there on the mountain there in Jerusalem. And who may ascend into the hill of Jehovah, or who may stand in his holy place? Now we've seen, if you know your Old Testament, that to go into the holy place, which is the part of the temple where only the priests could go, and they could only go there after a purification, after being anointed, after being, well, washed of their sins ceremonially as they were sprinkled there in the temple. It's the only time they could stand in the holy place, but they knew that that was a picture, and the book of Hebrews talks about that fairly extensively. But who is the one who can go into the true holy place of the true God? It's he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, if you look at those three things, they can be lined up pretty well with the temptations that Jesus went through in his life, the temptations during his 40-day fast. We see this psalm speaking of that as he passed the test. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, this is speaking of Jesus, but look at verse 6. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Now, you see the two different pronouns used, and they're both referring to God. And I believe that this is used, that this is written this way, showing the Father and the Son as distinct, but both Jehovah, both Yahweh. And verse 6 identifies this now as the church. This he that we're speaking of is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. And as we seek the face of the Savior, we're counted in the family of Jacob, even if we're German or whatever else we might be. And then the last four verses, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here we have the picture of Jesus now as the covenant head, as the triumphant Messiah, King of the earth, entering into heaven, as is spoken of in the last four verses there. So as Jesus goes into the throne room of heaven, he is the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Look what the psalm teaches. Who can go into the holy place of Jehovah? Well, this King of glory on the earth, the one who has triumphed, and he is Jehovah as well. Again, the Trinity was known and taught in the Old Testament. It truly was. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. The purpose of their creation is finally being achieved. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Again, who is this King of glory? Jehovah of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is a very triumphant song. It first sets the stage with the mediator, the Messiah, has been given the kingdom of the entire earth from his Father. And as he has achieved his salvation, and this builds on the previous Psalms, you know, it's in there, he is able to ascend then into the hill of the Lord and rule the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the picture found again in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah, the King of all, who would take authority over the earth and bring the gospel to all the nations. It's a wonderful psalm, and it's very appropriate to the New Testament ages. Again, we hear people say the psalms are deficient because they can't sing about Jesus. And we look at Psalm 24, and you wonder what they're thinking. This, by the way, the last four verses there, is actually a hymn that I learned in my Roman Catholic days. They did actually use that part of the psalm to make a hymn. They forgot the rest of it, but at least they got part of it, right? So as we sing this, we'll sing the entire thing, not just the last four verses. And we'll sing version C in our Psalter. And let's look at this picture of the mighty Lord Jehovah and his Son, Jesus, our Messiah, being established there in the throne room of God to rule at the right hand of the Father. Psalm 24, version C.